Hello, everybody. This is Georgianne Hughes, and this is The Bite Show. And we're very blessed to have Joseph P. Farrell with us. And Joseph has copious audio files at The Bite Show. Go to the library, click on Joseph Farrell's name, and his special page will open up with lots and lots of audio files, all free to listen to. And right now, we're going to talk about a very strange topic, the missing, the wackadoodle missing.
So, I don't mean to laugh about such a thing.
I know, but
I'm laughing at wackadoodle.
Well, you know, Spanky disappeared, people disappear.
Yeah.
I was sitting right here, and I was watching him, and I looked away at to my computer screen, looked back, and he was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was nowhere, in the house, outside, nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then suddenly he was back again.
Yes.
Very, very weird, Joseph. And this plane that is downed is also very weird.
Yes. Well, I agreed to do this audio file because you and I have been talking. I have been talking with one or two other people about this since this whole thing began. I have not spoken publicly about it because I have to confess that my thoughts concerning this thing since we first started hearing about it have run to more than my usual high-octane speculation on such things. I myself consider it wackadoodle. I mean, it's so out there, it's so in that category that that's my term for it. And I have no evidence for what I'm thinking other than this deep intuition that we're looking at something profound and huge and beyond the pale. And I think that we're looking also at, in the story as it has emerged, and I've been watching it, following it fairly closely.
Yes.
The story has evolved over time. And that, to me, is a sure indicator that they are concocting their interpretation. They're concocting what happened as they create the story.
Right.
It's very much like if you go back and you examine, I have a documentary called Evidence of Revision, and it's one of the best documentaries out there on the major assassinations of the 1960s, beginning with JFK, then through RFK, and on to Dr. King.
Mm-hmm.
And all it is it's a compilation of the news feeds as they happened.
Yeah.
There's very little commentary. You just sit and watch, and you think, oh, my God, they are creating the story right in front of our eyes. And
right.
that's what they're doing here, I suspect. So let me give you my two basic scenarios, the high-octane scenario and the wackadoodle.
Okay.
Wackadoodle scenario. And again, I'm laughing, but my heart goes out to all those families that are waiting to hear about loved ones and
yes.
what may have happened.
Yes.
But I said yesterday in my news and views from the Nefarium that I didn't want to comment publicly other than to say that at this juncture, I think that any story they put out now is spin.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that to include any discovery of a debris field, which is now, they've expanded their search to the Indian Ocean, and I'll tell you why that's so very significant. The Indian Ocean, unlike where they had been looking, there off the Indochinese Sea, that bounds the Malaysian Peninsula and on up to Indochina and Vietnam and so on. That area, that body of water is relatively shallow. It's between, I believe, 150 to 300 feet, so it's not a very deep body of water.
Mm-hmm.
The Indian Ocean, on the other hand, is a very deep body of water. There are depths in the Indian Ocean of 13,000 to 14,000 feet.
Yes.
So any debris field discovered there would have to be perforce discovered, depending on when they find it, with the means of some technology.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't discover it in deep waters, I suspect that at this point they would salt a debris field, that they are dealing with something that they realize is so huge that they would salt a debris field with bodies and debris and so on and so forth, and concoct black boxes and a narrative based on, you know, jets communicating by satellites. And most recently we saw Diane Sawyer on CBS talking about it. Now they're now saying that there were two communication systems that appear to have been deliberately shut off. They started floating the meme of pilot suicide, of hijacking, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Now, what bothers me about all of this, Georgianne, is the fact that there were two stories released about the Chinese took a picture with their satellites of something that they thought was a debris field about 140 miles east of where the aircraft disappeared.
Yes.
And to a certain extent that makes sense because of water currents and so on might have caused whatever it was to drift there. But the Vietnamese government sent naval vessels out to that area twice and found nothing.
Right.
Then the Chinese came out and said, well, the image was a mistake. The release of the image was a mistake. Then the United States came out and said that their spy satellites had detected no mid-air explosions or anything of the sort. And given the geopolitical context of what's going on in the world right now, with the Ukraine, with China backing Russia's stance on the Ukraine and so on and so forth, and with the United States involved, I don't think that any of these players have any reason to lie, because if they did, the other players in the geopolitical context would call them out on it.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah.
Now, we have, in addition to this, we have a larger backdrop that there are five regional powers now involved in the search for this aircraft, including India, and then, of course, China and Japan and Russia and the United States. Well, all these nations have spy satellite capability. The Indian Navy has made their spy satellites available to the search now, and so on and so forth. But this really highlights the problem, because with that area of the world being so busy with air traffic and with sea traffic, it's an area of the world that is covered fairly well by satellites.
Yeah.
So the idea that they would lose an airplane...
It's preposterous, Joseph.
It's not so preposterous. They could lose an airplane, but the idea that they couldn't find a debris field, that's preposterous.
Yeah, well, okay? That's especially kind of what I meant.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I misunderstood you. But then we had another story emerge, and that story began with apparently the Malaysian Air Force chief saying that their radar had monitored a blip that had appeared roughly around where the plane disappeared and turned back some, it appeared to be some 330 degrees or so from the original course of the aircraft, and turned back to the southwest and crossed the Malay Peninsula, where they lost contact with it over the Malacca Strait.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the Malaysian Air Force chief apparently backed off of that story.
Yeah.
Okay, but they expanded the coverage of the area to the Malacca Straits and now the Indian Ocean. So I'm extremely skeptical, Georgianne, at this point, of the conflicting stories, because what it appears to me is what's going on is that everybody is they're obfuscating the data, which is first of all a sheer classic sign of intelligence agency involvement in an event, to to obscure the data to the point that no one can interpret what really went on. And I suspect they're doing that because of two scenarios I've been playing around with.
Okay.
The first scenario is, may we pause just briefly here?
Yes. Hey, we're back.
Well, the first scenario that I entertain is that, unlike the hostage hijacking pilot suicide scenarios that are being floated now, and they appeared rather recently in the narrative, we have various versions of it, that there's a secret Chinese base that the Chinese flew the plane to. One person suggested they're trying to get their hands on a Boeing 777, which I find preposterous. They could just buy it.
Buy
you know.
It, yeah. My gosh.
There were other scenarios that include 20 passengers apparently working for a semiconductor computer company that they suspect may have been involved with black projects. There have been allegations that the United States used some sort of super weapon and made the plane disintegrate or disappear to send a message to Putin or to send a message to the Chinese. But in the current geopolitical context, Georgianne, I don't think this makes any sense, because if they were going to send messages, they would choose a target of much greater strategic value,
yes,
to Russia and China to do that.
Right.
So I'm not looking at American involvement in this by means of any sort of exotic technology. But there was the scenario that was floated by some people of the plane was captured by remote control, the transponders turned off and flown somewhere. We don't know where, or possibly crashed. We mm-hmm. don't know where or why. And there is a bit of larger contextual evidence that might suggest that such a thing occurred, in that you'll recall the flight of Korean Airlines 007,
yes,
back during the Reagan administration, that flew off course from Anchorage to Seoul,
mm-hmm,
and flew over a region of the Soviet Union, the Kamchatka Peninsula, where the Russians had a number of sensitive defense installations.
Yes.
And when the airplane didn't respond to Russian demands that it turn off course and you know, turn away from that region, they sent up their Air Force, and eventually the order was given to shoot it down.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there was the outcry about the evil Russians and so on and so forth. Well, we would have done the same thing,
you yes.
know, if it had been a Russian airliner flying over some of our defensive installations like that. And of course there were all sorts of conspiracy theories that the Russians had the technology to capture planes and remote control them and steer them, and there have been similar allegations in 9/11, since
mm-hmm.
9/11. I don't doubt it. But again, that scenario quite honestly to me, in the geopolitical context we're in now,
yeah,
doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because if we did it, the Chinese and Russians would already have been howling.
Oh, yeah.
And if we thought they did it, we would be howling.
Yes.
And none of this is taking place.
Right.
What we see, I think, is a scramble on the part of the countries in the region to get their story together.
Yeah.
And this is why I hesitate to say this, Georgianne, because there are suffering families waiting, and I don't like to capitalize, and I'm not intending to capitalize on their grief. I'm simply trying to understand and make sense of a story that thus far really isn't making very much sense.
Right.
So I hope if any of those families hear me that they'll forgive me and understand that I'm not trying to exploit their grief or anything of the sort. The other scenario is quite literally what we were told initially. And I go back to these types of events where you see the story changing as the events unfold.
Mm-hmm.
In those cases, I tend to trust the earliest stories and earliest accounts. And what we were told was the plane simply went missing. It disappeared.
Yeah.
There's no course changes at this juncture. In other words, I suspect even any radar tracks that they might produce as being after the fact.
Right.
And too late, and therefore suspect. I would regard any black boxes, debris, bodies produced as being after the fact, and therefore suspect.
Yes.
In other words, they're going to concoct an explanation to divert from a possible wackadoodle. There's no other word for it, folks. Wackadoodle explanation, and that is that the plane was simply disappeared.
Yeah.
Now, the problem here, as I light my cigarette, is to disappear a plane requires an exotic technology.
Mm-hmm.
And that, in turn, would require a physics that is not, shall we say, standard model. To disappear a plane,
right,
in the sense of disintegrating it, would require just ginormous amounts of energy. And by the standard model, that simply wouldn't be feasible. And I emphasize that.
Yeah.
To disappear a plane and make it, so to speak, teleport somewhere else, again, would require just ginormous amounts of energy. But I'm entertaining that scenario because I don't think the reaction that we see from the nations in the region, and more particularly from the great powers, is making any sense.
Right.
I think they are trying to concoct a plausible rationale, a rational scenario on conventional lines to divert people's attention from the horrible possibility that maybe something else is going on altogether.
And has been going on for a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah.
It seems to be increasing with rather dramatic frequency. The problem here, and already we've seen articles appearing on the internet of precisely this kind of exotic technology, and again, people are pointing the finger at the U.S. Well, the U.S. used an exotic technology, a super laser or some such thing, to either disintegrate the plane or make it disappear to send messages to Putin. Well, again, I don't find that credible, because first of all, there was only one Russian on the plane.
Yeah.
And if you're going to send a message like that to Putin concerning, you know, his involvement with the Ukraine and the Crimea, you're going to pick a much more valuable target to make a demonstration.
Right.
So I rule that out of the picture. I think possibly, and again, this is the wackadoodle speculation, I have no evidence for this other than the contextual evidence that what they're saying thus far isn't making sense, and I'm suspicious of anything that they come up with now as an explanation because it's too far after the fact.
Right.
I suspect that if one, and again, I emphasize if, and I'm using the subjunctive here, I boldface that, italicize it, capitalize it, and underline that if. That if one is looking at such a technology being used to convey a message, the question is, whose technology and who is the message intended for?
Right.
And I cannot think of any good reason why the Chinese would use that technology, largely on a passenger manifest that included mostly Chinese people.
Right.
During the week that they're in the middle of their party congress, you know, that only embarrasses their government and destabilizes it more. So I rule out the Chinese. The Russians certainly wouldn't do anything like that, because if they did, we'd know about it, and we'd, you know, again, we'd be crowing to the winds.
Yeah.
So I'm ruling out any of the major terrestrial powers. I'm not ruling out a terrestrial origin, but if that be the case, then what they're looking at is an unknown player on the block.
Oh.
With access to pretty sophisticated stuff, saying, looky what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're looking at very much what I thought is, and still think to be the case with the 9/11 scenario. Everyone thinks there's two levels involved in that. I think there's three. And the reason why I've consistently thought that is that if you assume, as I think is entirely correct as far as it goes, that there was a rogue element within the military-industrial complex, or whatever you wish to call it, that staged the attacks on the towers, or that let the attacks go ahead for the purposes of injecting American power into the Middle East, then you don't need to bring down the entire towers to do that. The attack enough would have been sufficient. It's when those twin towers come down in the fashion that they did, I'm still one of those that's not satisfied with controlled demolitions, nanothermite, or God help us, the most recent example of nonsense, mini-nukes. You know, as a nonsensical explanation for all that, I do think that we're looking at an exotic directed energy weapons technology, just like Dr. Wood thinks. I think that was a demonstration of a technology to all the parties concerned. Mm. And that it came from yet a third source that had penetrated the entire operation at both other levels.
Yeah.
I think we may be looking at something like that here.
Oh.
And that this is the reason why you now see the mad scramble of changing stories, evolving stories as we speak. I fully expect that they're going to try and float the pilot suicide meme. They're already making noises in that direction. In other words, they're trying to create the interpretation of the event.
Yeah.
As we speak. And find the one that works for most people.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And again, I don't mean to make light of the situation for the families. I'm trying to make light of the situation for what the spin control doctors are confronted with.
Yes.
I think that they realize they're dealing with something exotic and they're dealing with a hidden player. Now, it's equally possible that they're dealing with a hidden player that is not from this world. And the problem here is that a disappearing airplane, this is not by any stretch of the imagination the first time in history that this has happened.
Right.
We have stories, of course, that people are familiar with from the Bermuda Triangle, of disappearing flights that fly into it and are never heard from again.
And ships.
And ships, yes, absolutely. We have stories of, you know, disappearing regiments.
Yeah.
Of soldiers at various points in history, and particularly in the 20th century, these stories multiply. So it's entirely possible, I think, at this juncture, we have to entertain all possibilities. I think it's entirely possible that they realize they might be dealing with that sort of phenomenon. And hence, they have to. If they have concluded, and this is my real point, if they have concluded at any point in this unfolding drama that they are dealing with an exotic technology, if at any point they have concluded that, then everything else is spin.
Yes.
And the original story, the way it unfolded in the first 2 days, suggests precisely some such scenario. That's what I find to be the solid core in all of this. I'm inclined to, and again, not based on any evidence other than contextual and following the story as it's evolved and all of the mutual contradictions in it that really make no sense. But beyond that, I have no evidence. It's a gut intuition that they came to this conclusion very quickly and realized that they had to really work hard to spin it in another direction. I kind of expect that they're going to find a debris field. They're going to be forced to by the pressure of events within the next few days or weeks.
Salted.
Yeah, I stick with that. At this point, with all the satellite coverage of the area, they would have known immediately, the moment the transponders stopped functioning.
Right.
China, the United States, India, at the minimum, would have been on alert for a possible hijacking, and they would have been focusing all of their satellite and naval resources on trying to find that aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the idea that it has been lost for these amounts of days and they can't find it, that story doesn't make any sense in that context.
Right.
So I'm sticking with the idea that we may be looking at something very exotic and another player on the block sending messages, and that's what's got them spooked.
Well, if they disappeared, I mean literally disappeared,
yes,
into, for lack of a better terminology, another dimension.
Yes.
What would happen to the people? I mean...
Well, crawling way out on the wackadoodle limb here.
Okay.
In quantum physics, there's a thing called Feynman diagrams.
Okay.
And what a Feynman... They're named after Dr. Richard Feynman, who invented them to kind of give a simple graphical, pictorial depiction of particle interactions, all right?
Yes.
And many of these diagrams take the shape of two converging lines coming into one line and then diverging back into two lines, okay? So if you can imagine at one end of the line, we have two sets of events in two parallel universes, and this is also part of quantum mechanical theory, the idea of parallel universes.
Yeah.
A universe basically for every possible potential timeline, basically, is what you're getting at, where all possible choices are realized. All right.
Oh boy.
Yeah, oh boy. If, in other words, if I choose one thing on one day, that opens up a universe of possibilities that result from that choice. But if I choose the other thing, that opens up a different set of possibilities.
Okay.
With me?
Yes.
So we have two timelines coming together and sharing a timeline for a moment and then branching apart. But it is entirely possible for something to come from one, on that view, from one timeline to merge on that timeline and then diverge off into the other universe. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem here, and it's a whopper, is that to create that kind of membrane between entirely different universes requires gimungous amounts of energy.
Yeah.
At least on the standard model. If, however, if physical constants of this universe begin to break down, mm-hmm. or to vary significantly from their assigned constant coefficient value, then it is remotely conceivable that this universe would become, so to speak, porous with many such little membranes and portals and gateways and so on and so forth. So, you know, on that extremely wackadoodle squared scenario, it could disappear here and pop up there. You know, who knows?
Wow.
We are looking, I'm convinced, at something very, very strange. And I'll be honest, when I first heard of it, the first thing I thought about was Spanky disappearing that night, just out of, you know, just poof, gone.
Yeah.
And then showing up outside.
Yeah.
And then the physiological phenomena that you described to me that were associated with it at the time.
If that had happened 3 feet to the right, it would have been me disappearing out of this chair, I think.
Yeah.
Good grief.
Well, whatever happened, you know, it happened, and I'm not doubting it happened. And I have no normal explanation for it.
Right.
And I think that's what's got them spooked here. That there's not a normal explanation. They're either dealing with some sort of inexplicable natural phenomenon, you know, like I've outlined in Wackadoodle Scenario Squared, or they're dealing with an exotic technology that can reach down and scoop something out of thin air and make it disappear. And again, I don't see any of the powers that we would think of having that kind of technology willing to use it on such a trivial matter.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that the United States attacked the plane and brought it down because there were defense scientists on board that they were afraid of defecting to China and so on and so forth. Well, for crying out loud, you don't need a super laser or whatever exotic gimmickry to do that. You put a bomb on board.
Yeah. Good grief.
Or you simply remote control hijack the plane and fly it to an American base and deplane everybody, and there you go. It doesn't need all this fol-de-rol.
Right.
And by the same token, these change of course things, you know, did they change course? Did they not change course? Well, we don't know, because Malaysia has changed its story so many times on that account in the last few days that, you know, that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'm suspicious that they're redirecting the whole thing to the Indian Ocean now, simply because if they do find a debris field eventually, most likely it would have to be found. If they don't find it soon, it would be found at the bottom, and that would require some pretty sophisticated technology to find.
Yes. Because that ocean is very, very
deep. It's
deep,
exactly. So it's not something that anybody can go out and just verify.
Right.
And even there, you know, you would have to send cameras down and record things and so on and so forth. Well, you can fake that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my problem now with any spin that could be put on it is, at this juncture, to me, it's highly suspicious given the technological resources of the countries involved in the search.
Yeah.
This is my big problem. And the U.S., as I hasten to point out, came out very quickly after the event and said our satellites had not detected any sort of explosion or anything of the sort.
Right.
To indicate that kind of foul play. So something's going on here, and it's big.
Yes, I think you're right. Oh, well, Joseph, we've had ships and planes and people.
Yes.
And animals literally disappear. The bodies have never been found.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's gone on for a long time. And
it's gone on for a long time. And you and I discussed the possibility of messages being sent. Well, if this was a message, and here's a test.
Yeah.
If this was a deliberate message, then I think we have to entertain the possibility of more messages in the future. That they will escalate, whoever sent the message will escalate similar occurrences. You suggested entire cities, but I don't think that's the, when we were talking privately, I don't think that's the way that escalation would occur. I think it would occur by repetition of similar things. Ships that depart one port and never show up at another. You know, and these days, ships like aircraft carry global positioning and so on to help with navigation. So
yes.
It's not as if a ship disappears, then that's something. I think when all is said and done, we're looking at something very exotic and something huge, and it has them possibly panicked. You know, we were talking about something else that's happening right now that seemingly is unrelated, and that's this little asteroid. I've got a blog coming up about it, that's flying apart for no apparent reason in the asteroid belt. Now, it's flying apart at the breathtaking speed of 1 mile an hour. So, in other words, you know, it's kind of falling apart. But the problem is they're proposing natural models for this that don't really make much sense when you get right down to it, of, you know, sunlight gradually increasing the rate of rotation and centrifugal force reaching such a point that it's begun to spin apart. That's one explanation, believe it or not. Another has been a collision, but a collision would have much faster velocity of the debris from the asteroid.
Yes.
So that doesn't really work. But the other problem is there's thousands of asteroids, zillions of asteroids. So surely, you know, we would have seen this happen before and see it happening on other asteroids, presumably, while this one is taking place, and yet this is the only one, which suggests to me that, again, someone might be sending messages, looky what we can do.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, oh, boy. You know, way out there. So... I think that given the satellite capabilities that China and India and the United States, most likely Russia and Japan as well, have dedicated in that region, that it's very unlikely that they didn't know very early on that they were dealing with something very, very weird, very bizarre, very exotic, very mysterious. And quite frankly, to this day, Georgian, I don't think China or Russia or Malaysia or the United States or India or Japan or anybody else is involved in disappearing this thing. I really don't.
Wow. Well, I kind of have that impression also.
Yeah.
You know, the author of that book that I was trying to tell you about earlier, and I couldn't remember his name, was Charles Berlitz.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one that talked about a lot of these strange things.
Oh, yes. He did, and before him, Charles Fort.
Yes.
Certainly, you know, made a whole career out of it. And there are cases of disappearing aircraft, you know, the famous Kinross UFO case from the 1950s, where two U.S. Air Force Sabre jets were scrambled to check out a UFO,
mm-hmm.
and they merged with the blip, and the planes were never seen again.
Wow.
No debris in Lake Michigan, Lake Superior. No bodies, nothing. They're just gone.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I think, I'm not saying this was a UFO-related thing. I'm not saying that. We don't know if there are UFOs in the area or not. But nothing about this strikes me as normal. May we pause again briefly?
Yes. Back.
I'm sorry about that, but here's the other thing about this that disturbs me, Georgianne, and makes me think that perhaps this wackadoodle scenario may have some merit. I do have a number of friends in that region of the world.
Yes.
In Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Singapore. And they tell me that privately, people there are thinking precisely along these lines.
Boy.
Yeah, I've been told that Muslim scholars are already thinking in terms of, you know, Book of Revelation type stuff.
Yeah.
And are even citing the Book of Revelation. And that's the other thing that rather disturbs me here.
That rapture scenario?
And the strange portents in the skies and the heavens and
yeah.
all of that. They are thinking along these lines.
Mm.
And that's kind of an indicator to me that there's some dissatisfaction with the emerging public statements and developing story.
Yeah. It certainly is.
Yeah, the story, the storyline, I should say, is developing.
Yeah.
Because they're literally having to concoct an explanation for something that makes no sense. And that they don't want to spook or panic the public by entertaining this wackadoodle scenario. And
yeah.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't either, you know.
Right.
The real rubber is going to meet the road. Secretary Fitz put it to me this way. The real rubber is going to meet the road when the insurance companies pay out.
Yeah.
You know, what are they going to pay on the basis of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I suspect that that's part of this developing storyline. You can't pay on the basis of an airplane simply disappearing and never showing up again.
Right.
So, the whole thing I find very disturbing, but I'm viewing it, as I hope everyone has caught on, I'm viewing it from a very large, distant perspective. I'm not viewing just this event. I'm taking into consideration
many
things. Things
yeah.
like 9/11 and the aspects of that that make no sense on any of the models that have been proposed. I'm thinking of you know, other stories of disappearing ships and planes. I'm thinking of I'm even thinking in terms of Philadelphia experiment.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the
yeah.
the now well-known and infamous case of a disappearing ship that reappeared. You know, and
the Eldridge.
Yeah, the Eldridge.
Yeah.
That, according to some versions of the story, reappeared at a dock 200-some nautical miles south of where the experiment took place almost instantaneously, and then emerged out of the fog in front of the British captain of the Ark Royal aircraft carrier, and then inserted itself into a green mist and disappeared again.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, part of my wackadoodle scenario is, I'll be very frank, as to what I think may be going on. And people are fully licensed by me to say, Farrell, you've lost it, you're wackadoodle, that's nuts.
Oh.
Because it really is that wackadoodle. But here's my problem, Georgianne.
Okay.
I suspect that recently NASA has announced that it has discovered, so to speak, kind of magnetic gateways between the Earth's magnetic field and the Sun. In other words, there's portions of our magnetic field that are permanently coupled and interfaced on a common surface with that of the Sun.
Yeah.
You know, and again, that conjures a possibility that, you know, this is a physics that may have been known at some point in high antiquity and trickled down to the Egyptians, you know, that stars are gateways for the gods.
Mm-hmm.
NASA's talking about that.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. The other thing that bothers me is these ionospheric heaters like HARP and ISCAT and so
yes.
on.
Yes.
They are playing with things on a planetary scale.
Yep, that's right.
And I've been consistent in maintaining that when you do things on that scale, you're going to get blowback effects that you have not even considered or thought feasible because you simply don't know enough about the physics. In other words, you don't know enough about Mother Nature that you're playing around with.
Yeah, well, look at all the damn chemtrails.
Well, I'm not even going there. I'm not even going there. That's not even part of these considerations.
But the particles, Joseph, a lot of those particles have a magnetic quality to them.
Yes, I understand that. I'm not even going there.
Okay.
I'm just not going there. When you're playing around with things on this kind of scale, you're playing with physics that is going to have some sort of reaction.
Yeah.
I have consistently maintained that I think the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, given its configuration and the enormous magnetic fields that it generates, the largest man-made magnetic fields, as a matter of fact, they are going to have an effect on the planet, and that in turn means they're going to have an effect on other celestial bodies.
Yes.
So, and I've consistently maintained that there's a black projects part of the Large Hadron Collider that no one's talking about, that no one wants to talk about, and that has really nothing to do with particle physics. It's a geophysical machine.
Wow.
Yeah, and we could be looking at some sort of mechanism that's been created that is doing precisely what I suggested earlier. It's playing around with the constants of Mother Nature, and they're varying in ways that are producing some of these very weird effects. Mm. I don't know. But again, I think as the story was initially reported, not with all of the add-ons since then, that with the story as initially reported, we're dealing with possibly one of those effects. So in other words, that would mean it was not deliberate. Just like they were looking for one thing with the Philadelphia experiment and found quite another. So, you know, that's wackadoodle scenario cubed.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh.
To the third power. But in any case, you know, regardless of which one of those wackadoodle scenarios we're talking about, if they have even the slightest suspicion they are that any of that could be in play, they're going to keep it a highly, tightly held secret.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yikes.
I know it's wackadoodle. But I tell you, Georgianne, I've already accumulated a folder of stories on this story, articles from all over the world, and what I'm seeing in terms of the way that they're trying to spin it is just remarkable. Almost as soon as this occurred, you began to see popping up on internet stories of remote control abduction, pilot suicide, secret Chinese bases, you know, all of this stuff.
Wow.
And again, none of it's making much sense to me. It's looking to me like they stepped in, they realized they had a huge problem, and they stepped in, started the obfuscation process almost immediately.
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. Well, Joseph, if they attempt to salt the plane and the bodies...
Yes.
I mean, surely satellites would pick that up.
Yeah, well, obviously you're going to have a Boeing 777 in parts.
Yeah.
to create a debris field, you're going to have to create appearances of impact and metal shearing and everything else that goes with it. You're gonna, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yeah, it would take hundreds of people to do that.
Yeah, it may not take hundreds. I don't think you're gonna need that many people, but
gosh,
you are going to have a fairly sophisticated covert commitment to do something like that, and I grant you that's a very huge gaping weakness in the story, but that all depends on if they find a floating debris field. If the debris field is sunk,
yeah,
when they find it, that would be much easier to engineer.
Mm.
And this is why I'm incredibly suspicious right now of Indian Ocean. In fact, I'll be honest with you, Georgianne. A couple days ago, I was talking with one of these individuals, and I said, look, I'm very, very suspicious of, or he said, I forget which of us, of this turn toward the Indian Ocean for mm-hmm. precisely the reason that if they find something at the bottom of it, it can only be found by means of some pretty sophisticated technology, which only a few nations would have access to, and it would therefore be very difficult to verify the truth claims there.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the mercy of the spin doctors at that juncture. And the fact that China so quickly came out and made available a satellite picture, and then the Vietnamese went there and the Chinese retracted the picture and said it was a mistake. That's led to the Chinese conspiracy angles on all this, that while they were really behind it, they abducted the aircraft, they misdirected everybody.
It makes no sense for them
to do that. They wouldn't do that. I just...
It just makes no sense.
It doesn't to me either.
It
really doesn't to me either. I just don't think... And again, if they did try something like that, they'd be called out for it. The you-know-what would have already hit the fan if that were the case.
Yes.
So I discount that. Any way I try and slice this thing, Georgianne, I'm left with wackadoodle thus far. And I grant, everyone can have a good laugh 2 or 3 years down the line when they solve this thing if what they offer is to be believed. But I have a bad feeling about it, Georgianne.
Mm. I do too, Joseph. You know, off the coast of Japan,
yes,
there's supposed to be, I forget the name of it, but it's another triangle thing.
The Devil's Triangle.
Yeah, like the Bermuda Triangle.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. There have been disappearances in that region. There's another one, actually, in the Indian Ocean to the southwest of Malaysia, out there in the middle of nowhere. And I'll be honest, initially I was, pardon me, more entertaining the remote control abduction of the airplane and that they may have flown it to Diego Garcia, which could still be true. That base is so out there in the middle of nowhere with only the United Kingdom and the United States having access to it, and it's a very classified base. You don't even get on it without some real top-rank security. It's a possibility, but again, I think if that were the case, we'd be hearing from Russia and China, at least, if not India, that they were suspecting something like that, and not a word.
Right.
So, left with wackadoodle.
Oh my goodness, Joseph. Well,
now people can laugh. They can send you emails denouncing me as a nutcase. But after all, folks, I did write a few books on the Great Pyramid as a weapon system. So I'm willing to go just about anywhere if I think there's good argument for it.
Well, you've made a very good argument for this.
Well, I don't think... pardon me for interrupting you. Thank you for the compliment. But, this is so on the spur of the moment, and my thoughts still are not organized. This is something, if I really were to do it justice, I'd lay it out step by step, article by article, footnote by footnote in a paper. But I just don't have the time to do that, and the story is evolving so quickly, it'd be something I'd never finish writing. And I've got too many projects already as it is, but thank you for the compliment.
Well, you're welcome. Gee, Joseph. When we get so formal.
Well, it's informal because the subject, you know, the subject matter is just so crazy. There's no other word for it.
It's hair-raising. It sure is.
Yeah, it is. It's hair-raising. You know, there have been flights, the famous, Vankovic or something like that, the Australian pilot that was trying to fly from Melbourne to New Zealand that just, you know, went missing. And even
yeah.
radioed his reports of UFOs and just disappeared.
Well, remember I told you about a group of people were traveling in a balloon.
Yes, I do remember that.
And this was in Europe, and I can't remember exactly where, but they crash-landed. And the people that lived there went to help them, and they thought it was very odd because those people that were in the balloon, their hairstyles, their clothing, their shoes were like from 100, 200 years ago.
Yeah.
And eventually tests were done. Everything was verified that, you know, it's like they floated out of another dimension.
They floated out of the 18th century and into this one.
Yeah. And there's been cases of
yeah.
people in England riding a bicycle.
Yep.
And suddenly they are in a different timeline.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and I talked about that phenomenon in respect to this a couple of days ago. That,
yeah.
You know, we have the case of Ms. Garcia in Spain that woke up one day
yeah.
in different bed linens and went to work and discovered the department she normally reported to, she didn't work there. She worked in another department and with different people, and that her boyfriend and his son were completely missing, and in spite of all her efforts to find them, apparently they never existed.
Yeah.
She remembered events that hadn't happened and wasn't able to recall events that others said had happened.
Yeah.
And she thought she was losing her mind. You
mm-hmm.
know, she went and sought therapy and so on and so forth. And I don't think you can look at her case, if indeed it really happened, that it was simply a case of mind control, because, you know, why would anyone want to experiment on just an ordinary Spanish lady working, you know, in some corporation at
right.
a cubicle? Then there was that case of a fellow that showed up in Japan that I told you about that had a passport from a country in Europe that didn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The Japanese, you know, were totally mystified and put him up in a hotel while they tried to figure out what the dickens was going on. And when they opened up the hotel room, they discovered the man was completely gone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a room with no other exit other than a window out to a 15-story plummet to the ground.
Yeah.
So, you know, things like this do occur, but I think that they have been increasing in their frequency, and that's, you know, that's what makes me entertain wackadoodle scenario cubed.
Oh, Joseph, I don't think it's so wackadoodle. I mean, you're right, these kind of out-of-place things have been mm-hmm. increasing in their frequency.
Yeah, I think so. Of course, it could be the perception that they're increasing in frequency due to the availability of information on the Internet, but I don't think that's the case. I think that this is precisely the type of phenomenon. If the wackadoodle scenario in any of its versions is true, then it is precisely the type of phenomenon that will come under close scrutiny by the folks in the breakaway civilization. You know, they're
yeah.
going to catalog all these types of phenomena and try to understand them and figure out what they mean.
Yes.
And, you know, wackadoodle scenario, the least of the wackadoodle scenarios says, well, this is exotic technology, it's somebody else's, there's another player on the block. And if they've come to that conclusion, then they're dealing either with some other unknown terrestrial player on the block or they're dealing with a non-terrestrial player on the block. But in either case, it's got to alter their strategic calculus significantly.
Yeah.
And they're not going to, under any circumstances, release any information that would justify those scenarios.
Mm.
Which is why I think you see such a huge effort now in covering the story and obfuscating it.
Yes.
You know, when I received from my friend the Diane Sawyer clip from ABC News covering the story and saying that now they think that there were two communication systems on the aircraft that were shut off. Well, anything coming out of the major media to me is instantly suspect simply because we know that since the end of World War II, the national security apparatus made a deliberate point of infiltrating those news agencies in precisely in order to control what they said. So, you know, if it's coming from, you know, if it's coming from faux news or CBS or CNN or ABC or what have you, as far as I'm concerned, it's coming directly from the intelligence community.
Yeah.
So, you know, I immediately, just by dint of the guilt by association principle and their involvement with intelligence agencies, I immediately cast a pall of suspicion over anything that they say. And that's going to be the problem here. I don't think we're going to see anything remotely like full transparency in the investigation of this thing.
Mm.
The stakes are too high.
Yeah, I think you're right. Either way, if it's terrestrial technology, or if it's non-terrestrial technology, either way, it would be too spooky for them to mention.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The cost would be too high. If it's a message being sent to say we're here, how are you going to deal with this?
Yeah.
Then, like I say, we can expect other similar types of events to occur in increasing frequency.
Yeah.
If those types of events are allowed to be reported.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the other nasty part of all of this here. Anyway we approach this philosophically, it's a real epistemological conundrum for anyone trying to investigate it honestly and genuinely.
Yeah, it is. Oh, Joseph, well, this has been exciting, thought-provoking file. My goodness.
Well, yeah, you can file it under Wackadoodle.
Yeah.
I'm very serious about that.
Oh.
Joseph's Wackadoodle thoughts about Flight 370.
You want me to start a new category on your page?
Yeah, Wackadoodle thoughts.
Gee. Oh, that's funny.
But, you know, seriously, my heart and prayers go out to those families waiting to hear about their loved ones.
I saw
a scene from Beijing where the people were just absolutely...
I did too.
Yeah, fit to beat. And you can't blame them. And, you know, again, say what you will about the communist government there. I don't think that I think they're probably equally as mystified and perplexed as the people that were shouting at them.
Well, it's pretty horrific to not know what happened to your loved one. Oh, God.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
It's horrible. Okay, well.
All right.
Any new books coming up?
I'm working on one, yes. It's kind of a sequel to Financial Vipers of Venice and Cosmic War, believe it or not.
Oh, boy.
Cosmic War. More Cosmic War.
We'll have to do an audio on that.
Well, when the book gets done, this is a difficult book to write because it's kind of a conspiracy theorist's look at the Middle Ages.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. I've just kind of had it with academic approaches to history and stuff, as I indicated to you yesterday.
Yeah.
There's so many obvious dots that are there in the text that they don't either connect because they simply can't see them, or that they don't connect because they don't want people to connect them and
yeah.
discover the implications of what's going on.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we talked about physics earlier. You know, there's a level of physics that's not taught in schools.
Oh, of course there is.
You know, I mean, and it's at a level where you've got to have the high security clearance to even know about it.
Right. Yeah. Right. You wouldn't even be permitted to write down the equations of that kind
yeah.
of stuff in public.
Right.
Because it really would rip the mask off of.
yeah.
It really would. It would rip the veil from people's eyes. And I definitely think it exists, and I think we may be looking at something like that here.
Mm. Gosh. Well, it is 4:08 a.m. here.
Yeah. Better get to bed.
Yeah. Well, Joseph, thank you for this very much.
Yeah, thank you for doing it.
Okay. And pay attention, everybody, because a lot more is coming along.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.